All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's go back to the book of Joel for just a moment in the Old Testament, the book of Joel and chapter 3. And then once you have found that one, we'll go to one other verse, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew. All right, but let's begin here in the book of Joel, where we started last week, and let me just get a thing or two out of the way before I get to the main point for tonight. All right, in verse 2, we have these words, a prophetic statement. Of course, Joel is the speaker, the author here, but God, of course, is the one who is giving the prophecy. And God says, I will also gather all nations. All right, so I put the emphasis on the word all for a reason. And that's because at the Battle of Armageddon, there will be all nations represented. All right, God says, "I will gather." In other words, it's going to be divinely done. God is going to gather all these nations together. And then he says, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So these last two sentences here are basically what you could describe as God's indictment against the nations. And that indictment is that that the nations of the earth, and of course we have seen this in our day, in our lifetimes, how that the Jews have been scattered among the nations. All the way back in 70 A.D., when the temple was destroyed and Nero was on the throne of Rome, and the temple was destroyed, and then the Jews were scattered, and they were scattered from north to south to east to west. They went everywhere, and that's why there were all the Jews in Europe in the 30s when Adolf Hitler decided that he wanted to wipe out the Jews. And so they were exterminated in death camps and murdered and brutally treated, but nonetheless, they were scattered among the nations. Today, there are Jews living in every nation under the planet. There are Jews in all of the Arab countries, Jews in Syria, Jews in Lebanon. There are Jews in Egypt. There are Jews in Saudi Arabia. They're everywhere, all right? And they live in constant fear for their lives because you never know when someone's going to knock on your door and throw you in prison or execute you simply because you are Jewish. All right, so they were scattered. And God says that's an indictment. And then you will notice here it says, and parted my land. Well, if you go back into the law, go back into the Old Testament Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, you will discover that God promised to the Jews that they would occupy the land that is today Israel. But not only that, it would go all the way down into the desert and go all the way over to the Nile River. And then it goes all the way up to the Euphrates River on the north and east side. And all of that is the land that God promised to the Jews. Now, what the nations have done is they have parted my land. You say, well, how so? Well, how about this one? The West Bank. The West Bank. You know, that's Israel. That's Israel. You say, well, the Palestinians live there. Yeah, but it's Israel. All right? It's Israel. And, well, they call it West Bank because it's west of the Jordan River. All right? So that's the reason why they call it that. And it's, of course, when the Lord comes back and the boundaries, God's boundaries, are given to the Jews, it's going to take it's going to be the West Bank and the East Bank. I mean, Jordan, and right on up through Syria, all the way to the Euphrates River, will be the country, the nation of Israel. All right, so that's one part. They have parted the land. Okay, the Palestinians have claimed the West Bank. Then down in Gaza, that's another part where they have parted the land. The United Nations. Sorry about that. Just slips out. The United Nations decided to give Gaza to the Palestinian people. And, of course, you know what has happened recently. They elected Hamas to be their government. And Hamas has in their charter to the destruction of Israel. They have it written into their charter, into their constitution, if you will. And it very clearly states that Israel is to be destroyed. They don't recognize Israel as a nation. They see the land as the land of Palestine. And the Palestinian people to live there. Well, the only problem is God doesn't see it that way. All right, and so that's the conflict that's been going on since the days of Isaac and Ishmael. All right, long time this has been going on. There's not been peace over there since the days of Abraham, and it's just constant struggle, constant conflict, and so. What do you have? Well, you have a divided nation today, and it's not going to settle down. There's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes peace. That's when there will be peace, but not a minute before. So they can sign all the peace agreements that they want to sign, but there's not going to be peace until the Lord Jesus establishes peace in the Middle East. And you can put that down. That's the way that it has always been, and that's how it's going to be. There will be no peace until the Lord, the Prince of Peace, brings peace to the Jewish people. All right, just that simple. So that's where we were last week. And you'll notice here that God says, I will gather all nations. Now, we have been looking at the judgments, and there are seven judgments that are isolated in the scriptures. And this one is the fifth judgment, and basically it is called the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations. Now, when is this going to take place? Well, it is going to take place after the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to happen after the Battle of Armageddon. All right, so remember the little 5R outline. Rapture, that's first. That's the next thing to happen on God's calendar. Rapture, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that is also Revelation chapter 4. All right, when the church is called up. And then we're going to see the Antichrist rise up, and that's the second R, 7 years of tribulation, which I call ruin. So you got rapture, ruin, and that's a 7-year period. That 7-year period is divided 3.5 by 3.5. In the first 3.5, the Antichrist is going to rise to power. When he rises to power, he's going to have all the answers. He will be the one who will announce that he's the Messiah, and he will bring peace at the midpoint of that tribulation period. He will allow the Jews to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount, and worship will begin. And then the Bible tells us that at that midpoint of the ruin period, the 7.5 years, so in other words, 3.5 years after the rapture, then the Antichrist is going to do an about-face and begin a time of great tribulation upon the Jews. He's going to persecute them. And there's going to be a lot of death, brought about by this false Christ, this Antichrist, all right? And then at the end of that ruin period is the return. And that is the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of us who were raptured. We come back with him, all the dead in Christ. We all come back with him in the and fight in the battle of Armageddon. You say, well, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Well, we'll see about that. All right, so So rapture, ruin, return. Now, once the battle of Armageddon is over, we're reading here in this verse about the judgment of nations. So literally, look at the verse. It says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people. For my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. All right, so this judgment of nations is going to be based upon how the nations during the ruin period have treated the Jews. All right, now let that sink into you. It is going to be a time of judgment on the nations for how they have treated God's people, the Jews, during the tribulation period. Now, what's going to be going on during that tribulation period? Well, let's go back in our minds for just a moment. Hold on just a second here. Let's go back in our minds for just a moment. Go back to the beginning of that ruined period. Now, several things are going to happen during this tribulation period. All right, you'll remember there will be two witnesses, right? You remember that? Two witnesses. And they are going to stand outside the temple and they're going to proclaim the gospel. The gospel. You say, well, how are they going to do that? They're going to stand there and preach the gospel 24 hours a day. They don't leave. You say, well, they can't tell everybody the gospel. Well, through the medium of television and the internet and YouTube and all the other Instagram and all the rest of them, the whole world is going to at one time or another hear the message that these two proclaim. All right? They're going to hear them. And some folks are going to get saved when they hear their message. You say, who's that? Well, no doubt some of the folks who have never heard the gospel, but now all of a sudden their interest, I mean, folks, what a world we live in. It's just unbelievable. Every day it's something. Have you not noticed that? Every single day it's something new. And so all this stuff, you know, it's impacting people. It's impacting people. My grandson texted me and said this afternoon and to wish me a happy birthday. And he said that the whole campus at Pensacola Christian College is just beyond belief at what happened today. Everybody is just floored by this. Folks, this was, mark my word, this was a planned assassination. It was not something that just happened. It was not somebody who walked up on the platform where Charlie Kirk was sitting and speaking to the crowds and shot him. No, no. This was a planned assassination. Man, what's next? What's next? I don't know about you, but I sure hope the next thing is the Lord's coming back at the rapture. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had about all the fun down here I think I can have. You know? Let's just go. I don't know what the holdup is, to be honest with you. I mean, if it were me, if I were the Lord, I'd come and get my church. But until he comes, we just have to make the best of it. Keep winning folks to Christ. If we're going to save America, we've got to get Americans saved. Amen. So, question. Question, what else is going to happen? Well, there's going to be, according to the book of the Revelation, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists called by God who are going to scatter around the planet, and they're going to witness and lead folks to Jesus. You say, well, how effective do you think that's going to be, Pastor? Well, I think it's going to be real effective. You say, how do you get that? I mean, where do you see that in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible quite a bit. If you'll hold your place here, but go over to Revelation 7 for just a minute, and I'll show you. All right, Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and chapter 7. And chapter 7 is where we are told about these evangelists. All right, so if you look at verse 1, it says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God." In other words, nothing can hurt this angel. "And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have,'" what's the next word? Exactly. "Sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So what's that mean? That means nothing can happen to them. Man cannot kill them. Satan cannot kill them. They're sealed. All right? God has his seal upon them. And so here we go. Starting in verse 4, he said, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Well, that's a pretty good ministry right there, 144,000 who are going out preaching. That's a tremendous, tremendous gathering of evangelists. All right, so you read on, you'll see 12,000 from all the different tribes, look down now at verse 9. It says, in verse 9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. All right, a great multitude, comma, which no man could number. In other words, if you tried to number them, you wouldn't be able to do it. There's too many of them. The number is too vast. So he said, which no man could number, of what? All nations. Huh. What do you know about that? Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." All right, so what do we have here? Well, what we have here is an innumerable amount of souls who will be led to Christ during the tribulation period through the witness of these 144,000 evangelists. Many of them, if not most of them are going to be martyred by the beast. In the second part, second 3.5 years of the ruin period. So it's going to be ugly. There's going to be a lot of death that will hit this world when the Antichrist demands that he be worshiped. All right? And if you don't worship him, then you're dead. All right? Flip over to chapter 20 for just a moment. Look at chapter 20. And after all this is over, the tribulation is over, and the judgment upon the great white throne judgment is now coming up, and you'll look here in verse 4, and it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the," what? "Souls." All right? Where's their bodies? Where's their bodies? Who said it? Somebody say it out loud. What'd you say? On the earth, exactly. Just like when we die, our bodies are on the earth. You with me? They're buried in tombs. All right? They're buried in graveyards and cemeteries. But where are their souls? Their souls are in heaven under the altar. And look at what it says. It says, "I saw the souls of them that were," what's the next word? "Beheaded." And folks, this is why, another reason why I believe that the Antichrist is not going to be a European or a Russian. I think the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. And you remember Isaiah calls him the Assyrian, the Egyptian, the Babylonian. All right? All those nations are primarily Muslim nations. And so I think he's going to be a Muslim, the Antichrist. And so these souls that were under the altar, all right, were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, just like we will, for 1,000 years. And then John says, "But the rest of the dead," that's the unsaved, that's the unsaved, "the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were finished." And then he says, "This is the first resurrection." All right, now, what he's saying right there, this is the completion of the first resurrection. You see, the resurrection, the first resurrection, you'll remember Paul said that there is the resurrection of the just, And then there's the resurrection of the unjust. When is the resurrection of the just? Well, according to the Bible, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God went to Calvary's cross and died and was buried. And on the third day was what? Resurrected. And Paul said that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Then there will be at the rapture a resurrection of all the people who have been saved since the Lord's day. And we're all going to go come out of our burial spot. I had a man tell me one time he wanted to be cremated and his ashes scattered so God couldn't find him. I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." He actually told me that. "I don't want God to find me." And I didn't say it, but I thought it. One of these days I'm going to say it. But I thought, well, if I lived like you, I wouldn't want God to find me either. All right? But we're all going to be resurrected, and that's going to be a host. You think about it. All the redeemed for 2,000 years, from Christ till today. Woo! That's a lot of saved people. And so we all are resurrected to meet the Lord in the air. And that is the main harvest. We had the first fruits, that's Jesus. The main harvest of the resurrection, that's the church. That's the redeemed during the church age. And then there will be the gleanings of the resurrection. And that are these tribulation saints. These people who will get saved during the tribulation period and will die a martyr's death because they refuse to worship the beast, the Antichrist. All right, everybody got that? Now, this is where we are where we left off last week, basically. All right, so back to Joel 3, and put your finger there, and look now over to the book of Zechariah. All right, Zechariah, and look please at chapter 14, and look at verse 1. He says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." That's Armageddon. "And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth." This is the battle of Armageddon now. "And fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Look at verse 4. Now watch. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. Folks, no matter where you are on the Mount of Olives, you are looking down on the city of Jerusalem, the old city, where the Temple Mount is. You've seen that big gold dome on the Temple Mount? Well, that's an Islamic mosque, and they built it there when Saladin took over and conquered the Israel back years ago, in 1200s, I believe. And so that's been sitting there, that's been standing there for a long time. Well, that's the Temple Mount. You're standing up on Mount of Olives and looking down. You're looking down at the Eastern Gate, which is now closed. You're looking down at the Temple Mount, which there is nothing there except for that mosque. And that mosque is not going to stand. It's just not going to stand. I can't wait to see what God's going to do to it. It doesn't say anything in the Bible about it, but I'll guarantee you it's not going to be able to share the Temple Mount during the millennium with the temple. I just don't think it will. All right, so look at what he says. He says, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. All right, so if you're standing, watch me now, if you're standing on the Mount of Olives and you're looking down at Jerusalem, that is due west. Due west. Now, if you turn around and you're looking that way, that's due east. All right? North, south. So notice here, the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And here's the key, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So you're standing on the Mount of Olives, looking down at Jerusalem. There is the Hinnom Valley with the Kidron Creek River running down it, all right? And they call it Hinnom because right just down into that valley was where they threw the garbage over the hill and set it ablaze. And so it was always burning and it always stunk. And so they called it the Valley of Hinnom, which is the Valley of Hell, if you will, because of the stench and the constant fire that was burning there. All right, so that's what's there. Now imagine, the Lord steps on the Mount of Olives and it divides. It goes north and it goes south. And out to the west, looking down on the city, is now, because look at what it says, and there shall be a very great valley. In other words, it's not there right now. All right? Now, I've been over there. It's not there. It's not there. And nobody knows where the Valley of Jehoshaphat is. Nobody knows. Now, you'll get some, you know, wannabe PhD, and he'll say, well, the Valley of Jehoshaphat is over there. No, it's not. Nobody knows for sure. You say, well, then why is it in prophecy? Because it will be. It will be. That's why. And that's going to happen when the Lord comes back. And that valley is going to be there. All right? Now, oh, man. So, this is when that valley is formed. This is when we're going to see the judgment of all nations. Because those who were not killed in the battle of Armageddon. And there, listen, folks, how many people are on the planet now? Huh? 8, 9 billion people, isn't it? 8 or 9 billion people? That's a heap of people. No matter how you slice it. And not everyone is going to be killed during the tribulation period. Yes, multitudes will. John said a number that no man could number. All right, you with me on this? So the Lord is going to call all the nations. All the nations. And he's going to divide the nations. And he's going to say to the saved people, you get over on this side, the right side. And he's going to say to the unsaved people, you get over here on the left. Did y'all see that? The right are right. The left are wrong. I didn't do this. God did it. I'm just pointing it out to you. All right? And this is when there will be the judgment of the nations. And the right are welcomed into the kingdom. And the left are not. Real quickly. Go to Matthew, go to the Gospel of Matthew, and I'll close with this. I'm not done, but I'm going to close. All right, look please at Matthew 25. 25, and look down please at verse 32. It says, and behold, and before him shall be gathered what? All right, all nations. And he, Christ, shall what? Separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. See, I didn't come up with that. God did. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All right? But then look down, please. Look down, please, to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Ooh, this is not good. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Not prepared for you. God doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. But prepared for the devil and his angels. All right? That's the judgment of the nations. Now, there's one more thing I got to show you, and we'll do it next week, all right? But there's one more thing about this I got to show you, and that's having to do with the verses that are in between verse 31 of this 25th chapter and verse 46. Okay? So, you've heard these verses probably forever. I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you took me in, et cetera, et cetera. And then they look at one another and then look at the Lord and say, Lord, when did we take you in? And then Jesus said, well, listen, if you've done this to the least of these, look at verse 40. My brethren. Who are his brethren? The Jews. The Jews. He said, so what? That's what I'm trying to get you to see here, folks. This judgment is going to take place, and its results are going to be based upon what the people of the tribulation did to the Jews. If you treated the Jews well, that's a good indication that you know what's going on. You're saved. You figured things out. You're saved. So if you did it to them, Jesus said, well, if you did it to them, you would have done it for me. And that's what those verses mean. All right? So the Lord, don't forget, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And when God looks in the heart at the end of this tribulation period, he's going to know who's on what team. All right? Does that make sense to you? All right. Well, the workers up on the hill are going to have my neck. All right. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. We are a thankful people for our salvation. Not a one of us deserve it. There's not a one of us. But Father, thank you for making it available for whosoever will. And so, Father, bless what's been said tonight. Help us to see the urgency of the hour. We look around, we see all this chaos, and it's all a great indication of just how far along we are in your plan for your return. So, Father, we pray as did John when he closed the book, even so come, Lord Jesus. In your Son's name we pray, amen.